Welcome to our January 16, 2024 weekly devotional. Our heading says, "But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity." It's in Luke 13:27. And then in Matthew 7:13-14, we read, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." These scriptures have always troubled me. Frankly, to me, they are ominous and intimidating. They give me pause every time I read them. Something inside me takes a step back and looks at them again. I think it's an inner body scan. Nothing you're thinking misses the watchful eye of the Holy Spirit. The backdrop for these verses are here in Luke chapter 13 as follows. Verse 13, 1 through 5, he speaks of persons who perished during two different tragic events, which by his comments, some folks present must have attributed their dramatic demise being caused by their sin, which he said, "Not so, but unless you repent, likewise you too will perish." Maybe they thought they were not sinners. Otherwise, why did he warn them? Perhaps it's easy to think we're okay with Yahweh because things are well and maybe we are prosperous or whatever. Should that be our yardstick to measure our spiritual condition? I think sometimes we get into the rut of thinking because things are going well, or maybe I'm just really having this wonderful experience in my ministry or something like that, that somehow, some way, the things of the flesh or the things of the natural mind are causing us to have misconceptions about our spiritual condition. But evidently these people here, they were talking about this tragedy which had happened, and because they thought those people were sinners, that happened to them. The Bible teaches us that sometimes bad things happen to good people. We don't always know the answers for that or why. Sometimes it may just be a test. But nevertheless, Yeshua explained these things to them and probably shocked their thinking a bit. In verses 6 through 9, chapter 13 of Luke, he speaks of a fig tree that seems to be barren, no fruit produced. After the owner having checked it for the past 3 years, he tells his vineyard keeper to cut it down. The keeper said, "Let me fertilize it and give it one more year. If it fails, then you can cut it down." How may this relate to us? Yeshua said, "You will know them by their fruit." Seems the options here are bear fruit or burn. Not just any fruit, but good fruit, especially the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes we look at a situation like this and we think, "Am I going to be worthy to stand before the Son of Man," as he mentions in the Scriptures? He says, "Pray that you be accounted worthy to escape these things that are to come upon the earth." I wonder what he means by being worthy. I think that the only way I'm worthy is because of what he has done for me at Calvary. I have no righteousness of my own, but he has cloaked me in his righteousness. But nevertheless, there is this seemingly piercing view he has, causing us to stop and take pause and think, "Am I bearing good fruit, not just any fruit?" I think if we have honest hearts, that self-examination will take care of itself as we make any corrections that are needed. In chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, he tells of the indignant hypocrisy of a synagogue leader who faulted him for healing a woman on the Sabbath. She had had an infirmity for 18 years. They were saying he should do no such work on the Sabbath, as there were 6 other days they could do these healings. Yet they took their animals out for water on the Sabbath, business as usual. If we hang around with works hammers, maybe simple good deeds of others may look like nails to them. Religion can overpower you. Fellowship with Yeshua sets you free. Good works are always the appropriate when done in love. Then in verses 13, chapter 13, verses 18 through 19, then he said, "What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, when a man took and put it in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. I think it takes good soil in the heart and time in the growth phase of life as a faithful disciple to grow into a mature doer of the word, as it seems the kingdom of God is. Most likely, the hearers only will miss the narrow gate." Chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. And again, he said, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened." When believers are contagious with loving Yeshua-like nature and ministry, people can and will be leavened with the same spiritual values. We read in Psalms 145:4, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." I think it's how we got here and who we are. Chapter 13, verses 23 through 29. In response to the question, "Lord, are there few who are saved?" Yeshua warns them and says, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able." He warns that once the gate door is shut, many will knock and seek passage. Then he tells them these frightening words, "I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity." It is importantly notable that these people are not new or clueless to who Yeshua is and what miracles he has done. They said, "We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets." This is likely a reference to his feeding the multitudes. I recall the verse saying, "You seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." Why do we consider him, and for what purpose? Namely, it should be because he loves us and we love him. And Yeshua is the only way through the narrow gate. I surmise that many, then and now, consider his expectations of us too burdensome and interfering into our selfish and indulgent lifestyles. Going to church an hour a week should get me past the gate, right? I have known Catholic persons who call themselves Easter and Christian mass parishioners. Since Moses gave Israel the Torah, nothing has changed. Maybe you should read Deuteronomy chapters 6 through 8 and consider then and now. There's a tremendous summation of what it should be like to understand God's expectations of us and some of the problems encountered because of disobediences and bad attitudes towards wanting to be right with Yahweh. Why do you think Yeshua said, "Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity," which is lawlessness in some translations? Remember, these were not pagans, but were some way representing his ministry. And they claimed to have prophesied in his name, cast out demons in his name, and done many wonders in his name. Perhaps the key is the word iniquity. Lawlessness in the Greek is anomia. It means to transgress Yahweh's law. There seems to be a do-it-my-way problem here. Only his way is the gateway into the kingdom. Then in closing, our scripture says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, For you died, your old sin man, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3:1-3. I emphasize, your old sin man died. You are a new creation, and now your life is hidden with Christ in God. Shalom, and I hope this devotional has been a blessing to you.